Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So we kicked off season 6 of the podcast with our last episode with a visit to our faithful sponsors at the Georgia Municipal Association to find out more about their initiatives with Georgia City Solutions. In this episode, we get into exploring and sharing some great small towns. Today, we visit a small town in the southern part of Georgia, right near the small town that started this podcast 6 years ago. And we talk with a mayor that is always thinking about the next entrepreneurial venture, and he hopes to create more events and economic opportunities for his small town. We're going to go talk with Mayor Robert Johnson in the small town of Pearson, Georgia. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got 2 traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a 3rd anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
All right, we are in a city council chamber, which I enjoy doing recordings in. It looks like this one by one of the placards I see also doubles as the city court. We're in the small town of Pearson, Georgia, not too far from the great city of Ocilla, Georgia, and I'm sitting with the mayor of Pearson, Georgia, Mayor Robert Johnson. Mayor Johnson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome to the great city of Pearson,
Georgia. The great city. Everybody says that. Well, I've been through a lot of times because this is not too far from where I live in Ocilla, not too far from where I now do some economic development work in Douglas and the next county over in Coffee County. But just excited to get to know you. We've met before, but when you became the mayor and we worked together on the regional commission, that's about the time. For some reason, everyone just started shutting down and having these virtual meetings instead of in-person meetings, so they can get to know each other. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you. Yes, and as I've started so many times before, in so many seasons before, I'll start with the same question I always ask. Were you born in Pearson, Georgia?
No, sir. I was born in the great city of Lakeland, Georgia.
Lakeland, Georgia. Not too far from here, down in Lanier County. Far. Same not region of the state. Okay, got family down there? Or?
I have most of my family is here.
Okay.
I was just born in the hospital.
Okay. So your family already lived here?
They already lived here. I was raised here in Pearson, Georgia, but born in Lakeland, Georgia.
So it's just a technicality. That's what it says on the birth certificate. But as soon as you got out of the hospital, you came back to Pearson.
As soon as I got out of the hospital, it brought me right back to Pearson. So.
All right. Well, talk about since I got so many different stories from so many different people. Some people were not at all. Not even. I got a couple that weren't even born in the same country as where they serve. Right. And there's plenty of people that born and raised where they still serve today. So what was life like growing up in Pearson? Describe that to us.
Pearson is, what I say, it's small.
Yeah. What's the population of Pearson?
Population.
I always make sure to ask that.
I say that I wouldn't know the right offhand because it's been some years since I checked, but the last time I checked, it was probably 3,000 or 4,000.
Okay. That, definitely a small town.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's all relative, but for my podcast, you got to be under 10,000. You're well below the limit.
Very well below.
Well, go back to what life was like in the small town of Pearson, Georgia, growing up.
It was. It, like I said, it was small. Everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
Country.
Yeah.
It just a really good place to live, and it's harmless. I mean, we didn't have a lot of crime here. School was good. We have some really good teachers in school.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was just friendly, like.
Yeah.
Friendly, like, for school. For
couldn't get away with anything because everybody knew everybody. But
couldn't get away with nothing because everybody knew everybody. I mean, you're probably in class with some of your cousins, most of your cousins. Or,
yeah.
Or you got a best friend that you probably go to school with for the rest of your life because everybody lives in one area.
Right.
But Pearson's Pearson.
Good place to grow up.
It is a great place to grow up.
So you went to high school here, grew up here all during your childhood.
Yes, high school.
Atkinson County High School.
High school. Left here in 93.
And that's what I was going to ask. So you graduated high school. What did you do next?
Graduated from high school and went to Atlanta.
Okay.
Went to a school. It was at the time it was DeKalb College.
Okay.
But now I'm thinking it's called Georgia Perimeter.
All right.
So I went to school there. Went there for about a couple of years. Didn't get my associate because it was a junior college.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get my associate, but I had to move back home, help my mom out a little bit.
Okay.
And basically been here ever since. I know I went back to Atlanta for a little while. Got married and went back to Atlanta for a little while. But got a divorce and come here and been here ever since.
Okay. So a couple brief stints in the big city.
Yes, sir. I did Atlanta. Well, two times,
you know, you're here now. You're the mayor now, so yes, I know you live in the city limits.
Oh, of course.
So I ask this sometimes. People say they went away. Why? Did you kind of graduate high school and say, all right, small town, I'm done with you. I'm going off and went to the big city? What was the thought process there?
I've always been this ambitious dreamer.
Okay.
I've always been the one that look on TV, oh, God, I like this nice car. Oh, that house is beautiful. And this woman is beautiful. And, I mean, in Pearson, you just see the same old people every day, all day. It's just me. It's just having that vision of, God, I want to be somebody, and I got to get away from here because a lot of that stuff is not available, or you don't have the options or the alternatives to get it here. So
yeah.
I said, okay, I'm gonna go to Atlanta. I moved in with my uncle there, and you know, he took me in and started school there and seen a lot of different things.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that I seen on TV. But, you know, unfortunately I didn't stay there forever. So
right.
For a brief stint, I come back here, and then I went back and tried it again, but it just didn't work. So,
how long did you stay up there the second time?
I went back then and stayed probably another 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And come back here.
So what did you get involved in? Like, what did you, when you went to college first time, what did you kind of have in mind to do career-wise?
Well, it was business. It's always been business. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I always wanted to own my own or something.
Okay.
So that's what I went to school for business. And while I was there, I started customer service type jobs. So I ended up in a bank.
Okay.
I started working for, at the time, it was called Wachovia.
Yep.
Now it's called.
Through mergers and acquisitions.
Through mergers and acquisitions.
It's called.
It became Wells Fargo.
Yep.
So after working at Wells Fargo, I met a lot of people. And I really want to be in the banking world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, if I'm not going to run a business, I'm going to stay in banking for the rest of my life. But you know,
you can help everybody else finance their business
correct.
And still have a good living. Yeah.
So after, you know, just working in the banking world and working for somebody, my dream and aspiration was still just, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it just always stuck with me, no matter what job I had. This is just not it. I worked for a little while. I'm like, no, this just can't be it.
It just didn't. It didn't satisfy.
What
do you think it is? That's something, and we're seeing that, especially a focus on building entrepreneurs in rural parts of the state. We're certainly in rural part of Georgia right here. What do you think that is, as far as just that longing for that, or at least what is it for you?
For me, it was the thing of. Like I said, I've always been a dreamer. And going to work for someone for 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and you can put a cap on the money, but you're still not going to be able to enjoy the time off of having your own and the financial side of it. I mean, you go and make, and you can say $40,000 to $50,000 a year may be okay for some, but these days and time, you're going to need more. And even back then, with the price, the cost of inflation, it couldn't live like the way I wanted to live. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to live, and I'm not most people. I've always wanted to live the extravagant. I wanted to have the nicest cars, like I said, the nicest cars, the nicest houses. And I knew just working 40 hours a week, making $25,000, $30,000 a year, which back then was basically what I made at the bank, $20,000 to $30,000 during the years that I worked there. I knew that this ain't it. This ain't it. We got to get something going.
Well, it sounds like you eventually stopped working for other people, the 9-to-5 job. So what did you end up doing?
I did. I ended up, like I said, I took multiple jobs. After the bank, I did other jobs. But after that, I started a trucking business right before we started the mayorship.
Yeah. That wasn't in Atlanta. You didn't
no,
do that
no,
in
no.
Atlanta.
That was after coming. After I even come here, I still took jobs at trailer plants. I worked right before I become the mayor. Mm-hmm. I was a machine operator at Southwire.
Okay.
A company called Southwire.
Yeah.
It's probably the largest wire manufacturer in the world. They are pretty huge, and I did pretty good there.
Yeah, they've got two plants in Douglas.
They do. They have two plants in Douglas, and they're based out of Atlanta. They have
Carrollton. Yeah, Carrollton. just off the west of Atlanta.
Oh,
yeah.
So you familiar?
I'm familiar. Yeah, they're a pretty good sized company. They got several locations across the country, but mostly in Georgia because of those headquarters. Yeah.
Right. And you know, after working at trailer plants and working at the bank, I said, okay, I'll go in the manufacturing side and do this wire thing. And if you know software, they pay pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the key to paying, or the key to living okay and having a pretty good income with anywhere here in rural South Georgia is overtime. Mm-hmm. That's the hustle. You gotta
get those 40 hours so you can get the overtime.
You gotta get 48, 50 hours, 60 hours a week. Not just to make ends meet, but to have that extra.
Right.
So that was the thing with software. I worked there for about 5 years and made up a heap of overtime just to be able to live.
You got to get that extra.
To live comfortable. So after that, that's when, you know, during software, that's when the plan was coming together. Okay, let me get my credit right. Let me get my finances together, and maybe I can make a really good run at my own business
now. Okay.
Because the major plan, my biggest dream of when I was growing up for the business I wanted to run was I wanted a convenience store so bad. Wanted a convenience store. And after the convenience store, okay, I want a tire shop.
Okay.
I mean, that's just the vision and the dreams you have when you're becoming an entrepreneur. You want to be an entrepreneur. It's the different things that you want to do to make money.
Yeah, you see all the things. And,
correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, after the tire thing stuck with me for a long time. I wanted to sell used tires. Mm-hmm. Or even new tires and sell rims for cars and probably have a little oil shop on the side or chain shop on the side also. So, you know, after that, busted up in my head, like, okay, I don't want to do that no more. After that, transportation became like 5 or 6 years ago, transportation was it. If you can get into that, man, you can make a lot of money.
Now, you're talking about like truck transport?
Transportation.
Like, you mentioned trucking, so I assume that's where the story's going.
That's correct. I got
like driving semis.
Well, driving them.
Or dispatching them.
Dispatching
having a fleet. you said big, so you must have been talking about a big fleet.
Right. So, I started out, I went and, you know, did my research on the trucking thing. My goal was to probably, hey, let me get my CDL, and I'll leave Southwire, and I'll work for myself. But I became mayor. Well, the mayor thing came in, and like, dang, I can't get on the road now. So I saved up and bought my first truck. I bought it cash. We bought a truck out of Atlanta. And, man, that truck did exceptional. I'm talking about, and if you know the semi-truck business or trucking business, if you can just keep that thing going you can keep it going for 6 months. You probably can buy 3 or 4 more trucks because, you know, it's substantial income that comes in fast in a hurry. So, you know, if you don't have any downfalls or breakdowns, you can pocket your money pretty good and put it back. So we did really good with that one truck. After that, I went and got another one. And it just went good for about another year or two. It went really good. So I could, you know, get about two or three trucks. I stopped at about three for a little while.
Okay.
After the three.
And you had a couple other drivers too, huh?
Yes, were drivers. I didn't drive
You didn't
all.
Do any of it?
Because I was mayor at the time. Mm-hmm. I had to start being mayor. So I had to be here full time. This job, you know, mayors is set up different. There's different structures. There's a full-time mayor or part-time mayor or strong mayor or weak mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've heard the term.
Oh, yeah.
I am in a strong mayor structure, which is I am the city manager and I am a full-time mayor.
Well, let's back up because you, I expected there to be the business building and then later, but you I didn't realize the timeline there.
Actually, I was building while when I
first Right, that's what it sounds like you're doing.
When I first come in, I was already set to whether I was going to win mayor or not. I had a goal. If I don't win, hey, I'm not staying in Southwire anyway. So I'm gonna get my CDL and I'm gonna drive my own truck.
So you had two parallel things going on at the same time. Well, let me back up then, because I always ask this question.
Okay.
You know, you'd been back. You tried Atlanta, decided it wasn't for you, and came back and got into manufacturing, doing some other things too.
Yeah.
What made you decide to run for mayor? Because you'd never run for council before. Is that correct?
I'll give you this. I've always been big in the community. You can go out there and ask a stranger right now about, and they probably won't know me as Robert. My nickname is Buster.
All right, so you already answered one of the get to know you questions. Right. I was going to ask later.
my nickname is Buster. And if you ask anybody about Buster around here, they'll tell you he's always been big in the community. I've always given community events. Like, as a matter of fact, we got an event coming on Saturday if you're not doing anything. It's called a Taco Festival. But I've always did community events. I've always helped out with churches. I mean, just always been big in the community. And during that year, the year before I ran for mayor.
Because what year was that? Let's get back to the timeline.
2000.
Because, like I said, I thought you were building the business empire and then going to run for mayor.
I had already built it in my head and did the research the last year before I ran for mayor. But 2016 is when I got approached with, hey, you should, there was a gentleman on the council that had to step down.
Okay.
Or if I'm not mistaken, he got sick.
Okay.
And
anyway, he couldn't serve anymore.
He couldn't serve anymore. And usually what they do is they appoint.
Right. Until there's a special election or the regular election that comes up.
Stuff, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can help fill in the gap.
But, someone approached me about becoming a councilman.
Okay.
And I'm like, that sounds good because I fit the description. I fit that I'm a people's person. I try to make the community better, and I'm here to see that the community is trying to thrive and go somewhere else. That's just always been in my heart, to see this place do something better. So I thought about it, you know, I'm like, So I called the mayor at the current time, which was our mayor, Miss Betty Drayton Williams, I'm sorry. And I asked her whose seat was coming up for the election.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned to me that, you know, her seat, which was, she was the mayor at the time, her seat and I think a couple of more at that time.
Right, they usually offset. It's not everybody at once. It'll be half the council and then the other time the rest of the council and the mayor.
So she told me, you know, that's what was going on. So I went back home or got off the phone at the time, was pretty happy about it. I'm like, I think I want to try this councilman. So the more I thought about it, I'm like, She said her seat is up. So I gave a courtesy call. I did talk to her. I mean, she hands down has been one a fabulous lady. She is a woman of God. She's been a preacher here. She's been a teacher here. She's served on so many boards here. She's been a pillar to our community for a long time. So out of respect, I talked to her and asked her, you know, what was her plans. And at the time, she told me she wasn't planning on running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
That was her plans. So that put another thought in my mind. I'm like, why not I try for mayor then?
So did you not get appointed to the council, or you did?
No, I didn't get appointed to the council.
So you didn't get appointed at the time, that vacancy?
If I can remember well, she said that they weren't going to appoint. That they were
going to. Okay, the next election.
They were just going to wait for the election.
Okay.
That's from what I can remember how it went.
Mm-hmm.
So, that just, you know, put a little.
That just made you more aware of some.
Yeah.
I guess opportunities to serve in a political capacity.
Of course. And it hit my thought I go all in or nothing. I mean, it's either I win or I don't. So I'm like, why don't I just go for that? I don't have nothing to lose. I mean, this was brought to me. I don't have to be on the council. I don't have to be the mayor. So I threw the idea out there because I have a huge following. Facebook is, it can be your enemy, it can be your friend. So I just kind of threw the thought out there on Facebook, and oh my God, it went crazy. I'm like, whoa. I might can win this thing, but a lot of people on Facebook are not your citizens or whatever. But I still wanted to know what some of these people thought.
Just
of
get
me.
Some feedback, yeah.
You know, as I looked at some of the comments and thought about it even more, I'm like, I think I'm gonna go for this thing. a lot of people that grew up with me still couldn't believe that I was gonna do this, but you know,
doesn't sound like it was a thought before. Right. But once the seed got planted,
of course. So I hit the ground running. And as it got closer to qualifying time also, the current mayor, she jumps back in the race. I'm like, oh, God, I didn't expect that. And plus we had this other lady, her name was Miss Teresa Minor. She was running for it also.
So all three of you qualified to run
all
for mayor.
We just went out there and just went at it. And surprisingly, I was in the, I had a runoff with Teresa Minor.
Okay.
It wasn't with the, which that was the biggest shock of the world, that we thought that the incumbent would be probably, because everybody.
If there was a runoff,
they felt like, you know, everybody can about picture it or vision, okay, it's going to be them too. But everybody thought it would probably be myself and the incumbent, but it wasn't. It was me and Ms. Teresa Minor.
And obviously you won the runoff.
And I beat her in the runoff.
Yeah. So let me ask this. It sounds like you just hadn't really thought about serving in a political office before, but once that seed was planted, you went for it. Were there some specific, initiatives or things that you wanted to kind of focus on either during the campaign or after you won?
My biggest thing here was during my first term, which I felt like it was a little unfair that coronavirus kind of took over some things and stopped a lot of stuff. But Pearson, in which the reality of it in Pearson is we have it's a small town. We don't have a lot of people here. And me feeling the vision that I have for business, I really would love more businesses come to the city. And not just mom and pop stores. My vision and goal and dream was to bring a major, and it still is, a major manufacturing business here.
Mm-hmm.
I would love a Walmart to come here, which probably a little far-fetched because a lot of these bigger businesses they looking for, people don't understand that they do it's like analysis. They see how many people live here.
Population density is the biggest thing, and then, workforce.
The living condition here, because that's the main thing they're looking for.
Right.
What workforce is going to come and work for us here.
Right, yeah. They don't want to
And see, a lot of people don't understand this little stuff that these places do. Like, people will come up to you, how come we don't have a McDonald's here? How come we don't have a Wendy's here? A lot of these people looking at it like, I can't make no money there. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's sad, and a lot of people don't want to take a chance on small towns because it's hard to recoup that investment. When you invest $1.5 million, $2 million, and you don't see a return in your whole lifetime, that makes you a little weird about going and invest that kind of money.
Cause
a lot of people don't have it in their pockets. They go into the bank, and they don't want to leave this debt with their kids and grandkids. So, you know, a lot of them will skip over this little town. But, I mean, I'm still hoping and praying that, you know, somebody will give us a chance on some stuff like that. But right now, I would really love a manufacturing company to come here and get some jobs here. That was one of my main focuses, a manufacturing company that will create some jobs here, because I just really get tired of us having all of us. You're on the economic development in Douglas. Douglas, and I was just telling somebody this the other day, Douglas is unlike no other city around. Douglas sits in the middle of Osceola, Fitzgerald, Willacoochee, Pearson, Broxton, Nichols, and excuse me if I forget some, Millwood, Axon, Alma, all of those people, where do they have to go?
It's kind of a natural commercial entertainment and social hub.
It's unreal. It is unreal what they sit in, everybody have to go to them. Where's your biggest hospital in the middle of all that? Douglas.
Right.
Where's your Walmart?
Yeah.
Where's your Walmart? They got a Walmart distribution.
Right. Well, not only a Walmart, but a Walmart distribution center.
You got a Walmart distribution center, and you got a ton of manufacturing businesses. And when people go to work and get off from work, where do they go eat at? Douglas.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat Douglas. I mean, you can't compete with nothing like that. So, I mean, it's
a pretty incredible.
It's an incredible
phenomenon, and certainly
I think a baby can be successful in Douglas. As I mean, because it's a blessing to have it, you know, where it sits at, you know. I mean, to inherit something like that. I mean, the great Tony Park, that's my buddy. I tell him all the time, you're a lucky joker.
He'll appreciate the shout-out you just gave. I'll leave that in.
That's my buddy. I love him to death. He's a really good mentor to me.
Good.
I mean, hope he listened to this, but he's a really
good
mentor.
Well, I hope so, too.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll let him know we talk.
There we go. Between the two of us, hopefully we can get him listen to it.
He's a really good mentor, and I tell him all the time, he's blessed. He's blessed to sit where he's sitting at. But he does a good job with it also.
He does. I want to go back to, because you kind of talk about economic development, and I pulled you back from your story because I realized we passed the part where you decided to run for mayor. Okay. That all happened so close together. So now you're elected the mayor.
Yes, sir.
And you start serving in 2018, I guess is when you started.
2018.
And that was about the same time you said that's when you started the trucking business, because you actually kind of had things going. So you're doing those. So talk about the parallel journeys of starting a business at the same time starting, because I know from my first days as mayor, there's a lot to learn. It's a steep learning curve.
It was.
And you feel like you just did a cannonball off the high dive into the deep end of the pool, and you're trying to tread water as fast as possible. As far as all the things you just have to know about how to, you know, people think it's easy. Oh, that's easy.
No,
that's a boneheaded person. They're not doing the right things. Well, there's all these laws
of
what you have to do, and there's all these laws about what you're not allowed to do.
Right.
And so learning the ropes of utilities and municipal courts, public safety, public works, all those things. So you're doing both those things at the same time. Talk about that journey.
Well, actually, when I did win, the end of 17, like I said, I already had the plan I'm going into trucking regardless of what happens. We actually bought the truck March, April. We bought our first truck in March, April of 18. The truck sat there for a little while because, like you said, I just started being mayor, so I'm having to go to different meetings now, especially when you first start. You got these meetings like that. You have to go to Tifton and do the when you first
the start. New elected officials
the new
training
elected officials,
required by law.
Required by law, we have to go to that. I went to Mayor's Day, which they called it back then.
Yep. Now Cities United Summit.
So a lot of that stuff was kind of put on hold till probably the middle, like the three quarters of the year. A lot of that was put on hold till then. And then we had a tragedy. The guy that was supposed to start driving for me, he passed.
Oh, goodness.
He got in a four-wheeler accident.
Mm.
He was supposed to be my main guy. As a matter of fact, he was helping me start the business. And
oh, wow.
He was already in trucking. He was already driving trucks.
Yeah.
And he was going to be pretty much the guy that ran everything for me. So that kind of put a damper and put things on hold at the time. So the transition wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But I wasn't gonna stop at all. I was gonna keep it going regardless. So after I finally found another driver and, you know, got a hold to what I was doing here as a mayor, I'm like, okay, I can go ahead and get started now. And I found a contract where we can pull containers from the shipyard in Jacksonville at the time. So everything started smoothing out pretty good then.
So you built that up. You said you got up to 3 trucks. Do you still have that trucking business going?
No.
Okay,
sir,
you got
no,
out of that.
No, if this camera could only see the gray hairs. And
Nope, audio only. We don't have to video anything.
Last year, I stopped that. It was getting a little too stressful. It was getting pretty rough. It was getting where I'm not making any money.
Mm.
Like, it started off wonderful. It started off very lucrative. Did really good the first, probably good. I did out of 5-6 years, I had a good 3-4 years.
Okay. Did you end up getting into some other?
Of course.
You described yourself as entrepreneurial, you can't, even when that one was going good,
most definitely.
You wanted to do 15 other things, right?
Oh, of course, most definitely. I mean,
everybody in the listening right now wants to know if you got the convenience store going and the oil change place, the tire place, and all other things.
I mean, and you do, like I said, you come up with all those ideas, but, you know, a lot of that stuff just fall away. But during the time I was in trucking, I started buying mobile homes. I wanted to get into real estate.
Okay.
But my credit wasn't good enough to just be going to buy houses and go to the bank, because a lot of people, they thinking some of these people coming out of the pocket with this stuff, but banks help you tremendously with these type of investment. So I didn't have the funds to do what I really wanted to do on the real estate side. So what I did was started buying mobile homes. My cousin come to me one time. I didn't have any of them. I was still in trucking. I was doing pretty good in trucking. And he wanted to move. He was getting ready to relocate to Phoenix, Arizona. And he was selling the land and the mobile home. And I'm not scared to say he was selling for $10,000. Really good deal. The land and the house. He just wanted to get away. And I thought about it. I'm like, well, let me think about it. I'm glad you're giving me the first choice. So I told him, I went back later and told him, hey, I want to do that. So that's what gave me the idea, okay, hey, this will be another, you know, some more residual income. I mean, real income, just in case if something was to happen to you and you just laying around, they got to pay rent.
Yeah.
So that kind of sparked the thing of, let me buy another one. Maybe I can find another one. So there was a guy down there. Matter of fact, down the street from where we are now, he wanted to sell his whole trailer park. I'm like, man, I can't buy a whole trailer park. So he had about 3 trailers. He wanted to sell all the mobile homes, but he just wanted to get out of the trailer park, the part where he has to maintenance them, he has to service them. He just wants to collect land rent. So, because he said that's the headache part of it. I'm like, He said, I got 3 of them I'll sell you right now, and you can finance them through me. I'm like, are you serious? He said, and you can the 3 renters are already in it, in the trailers, and they'll pay you rent. And you basically, they're paying your loan off. I thought about it. I'm like, that sounds good. But I had to pay him a down payment. It's really like his buy here, pay here. He's financing it for me. So I did that. I took that deal and gave him a down payment. Let them start making a payment. Got those paid off. So now I got 4. After that, when I tell you I got really blessed, sir, Fast forward, I have 11 of them now.
So you really got into real estate. You're not in trucking anymore, but you stayed in real estate.
I'm in real estate, but ever since then, and now watch this. Ever since then, I think the most I've paid for a mobile home was $1,500. The rest has been given to me. People will call. Like I said, we're in a rural area, so you don't see these nice $300,000-$400,000 houses around here. No $500,000-$600,000 houses either, but all you see is a bunch of mobile homes. You see a lot of houses right here. So a lot of people is getting out of mobile homes. They're building houses. They're moving away. A few has called and be like, hey, I hear you into mobile homes or whatever. I just want to get rid of it. Just come get it off my property. That's mostly how I've got.
Wow. So you've just been able to build up by people giving you the assets.
Yes, yes. They have given me mobile homes. But some of them will need some little tender love and care. They'll need the floor fixed, another roof on. They haven't been mobile homes where you could just move right in now. I've had to do some more remodeling to them.
Right. So there's a reason they were giving them to you.
There was a reason. They call them junk, but I call them, you know, if that's your junk.
Fixer-uppers. They're fixer-uppers. You were able to fix them up.
So that's where that came from.
Okay, so that's your main thing
that's
now?
That's my main thing now, but something else I got into while I was probably during my first 2 or 3 years as a mayor was I had a friend that was at Carter's Fried Chicken. He worked with me at Southwire during my little tenure at Southwire. Me and him talked all the time, and he was, he got blessed with land and the Carter's Fried Chicken franchise his father and brother, or their family, built. I reached back out to him during my tenure as mayor and asked him what would it cost me to be a franchise owner for Carter Fried Chicken. And he gave me a number, and we went with that number, and I went over to Fitzgerald, Georgia, and started a Carter Fried Chicken franchise, which I don't, did you?
I've eaten there before.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'd actually heard that was you, but this is the first time you and I have talked about
it. That was me.
Yeah.
And we started.
So I have patronized your business on multiple occasions.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'm the type of, I'm a numbers guy. We did that for about 8 months. It started off great. And I don't know what it is. I've heard that building is a, you know what building
I know
is,
what building
right?
is,
I heard
yeah.
it is a, is a.
It was a couple things before it was your Carter's Fried Chicken.
A business killer or whatever. They say there's something in that building that won't let nobody stay there. But the numbers just wasn't coming up right. And again, this is in the middle of COVID, so we couldn't keep nobody working. The numbers was not good because a lot of people were still staying at home. They were scared to come out. It really was bad timing. That's what I think. I mean, the food was great, but you know, it didn't kill my dream of cooking. So ever since then, I went and bought I shut that down. It didn't work. I mean, I was losing like crazy, and I still was doing the trucking thing. So I shut it down, and we went and bought a food trailer, which I don't know if you've probably been on my page and seen it. But we do a food trailer now, and it does awesome. So that's one of my main sources of income, the food trailer, mayor, and the investment in the properties at the moment.
But no more trucking.
No more trucking. Well, we're at the moment, I'll be honest with you, we still are doing...
It's food trucking, not transport
well,
trucking.
We're doing food, the food, plus we're doing single pools with a truck, with a regular truck.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that also.
Yeah. So you're still in transport. You got
I'm
two kinds of trucking business.
Yes,
transport trucking and food trucking.
Right. I stopped the full semi truck thing and just doing a little bit.
Smaller loads.
Smaller loads. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Well, hey, I want to get to talking about Pearson a little more. We kind of talked a little bit about how you started and what you want to focus on. But I've got this one segment. I told you already answered the first question because I got these four get-to-know-you questions I've always asked for all the seasons of Small Town Podcast. It's just intended for me, but also the audience, just to get to know you better. So the first question, I'm going to ask it anyway since we already know the answer. Do you now have or have you ever had a nickname? So you said yours was Buster.
Yes, it is.
So I'll ask you where that came from and how long you've had that and why people call you Buster. If I go out on the street and ask about Buster Johnson, why do they know that's you?
They're going to know that's me because when I was, I guess when I was a baby, my mom, I asked her the same question. They said they gave it to me after my granddad. My okay. granddad's name was Buster. So they say I looked so much like him, so they wanted to call me Buster. So that's where the Buster name came from.
Did they tell you how he got the nickname Buster?
They did.
Okay. I've heard some people, you know, usually with, hey, Buster. Right. It's not always like a pleasant right, you know, right. term of endearment, but it becomes so after a while. Right. So I don't know if you got in trouble a lot as a child or that, yeah. but it was passed down from your grandfather is what it right. sounds like. All right. right. All right. Second question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
That's a good one.
You got a thought already. It took you a second, but then look came across your face.
I wouldn't know all the words.
That's
to
okay.
it.
Karaoke's got the words right there right, for you. So you don't have to worry about knowing them by heart.
With just a few, and I do have a few drinks every now and then.
Okay.
But with a few drinks in me, I think it would be, what's the name of that song? I Can See Clearly Now the Rain Is Gone.
Okay.
I love that song. It is funny.
Convenient for you.
It's very
convenient. A lot of times when it's karaoke night, that happens in a place that also can serve alcohol. You can have those couple of drinks you need.
Right. And I'm going to need them singing. Before I start karaoke. But
that's a good bright, sunshiny day, right?
Right, yeah. right, right.
All right. All right. Next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
My favorite meal, and I'm simple, corn and rice.
Corn and rice.
I am.
You don't even need any meat.
Cream style corn with some fried chicken.
Okay, there you go. I was about to
yeah,
say.
The just, whole meal, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I that's why I said meal yeah. or dish. Sometimes yes. someone says it's just this thing, yeah, just, but here's the whole meal, put it together.
Give me some cream but style when you corn said, and rice and fried chicken, and I can eat that every day.
Probably. Okay, so when you said corn and rice, I'm thinking this man had a fried chicken place that drives a food truck. I bet you do some right. meats in your food truck, and here you were going vegetarian. Sounds a little suspicious, but you clean that up for me.
Yeah.
All right, final question. If you could attend any concert of any singer, duo, band, any kind, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
And if you asked anybody out here,
they'd already know?
They're going to tell you it's Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
He's a rapper, yeah.
I'll go to that one with you.
Now, that is somebody that I really, really admire, really admire. As a rapper and as a businessman, but he is somebody.
He is certainly very entrepreneurial.
Very, very, very.
he's built quite an empire.
Yes, he has.
Jay-Z.
Yes,
he has. All right, well, thanks for letting us get to know you.
Okay, thank you.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, I want to talk more about Pearson and what people should know about it, what they can do. And you actually mentioned something I want to follow up. Now, you said you invited me to something this Saturday. Now, I told you okay. that there's no way I'm going to be able to get a podcast episode out for this Saturday. But tell us about the event, because if it's something that you do regularly, right. we'll make sure people know about it. So what was it? Talk about the events in okay. general in Pearson.
Well, we got every year the city itself does something they call the Goat Festival.
The Goat?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is not something that they just they don't have a bunch of goats that is in it. We don't know. It's just called the Goat Festival.
Greatest of all time.
Right. Right. It's something that was done before my time. They were doing it before I got here.
It's a tradition.
It is a tradition.
And everyone says, we always have done the Goat Festival. We always have to do the Goat Festival. Right.
And they do it every year around October.
Okay.
That's what the city has done. But myself...
with the Goat Festival, what kind of... You said there's not goats running around the streets.
There's not goats running around the streets.
So what is there to do? What happens at the Goat Festival?
It's just like any other festival. I know you've heard of Sweet Potato Festival.
I have heard of the Sweet Potato Festival. In Osceola.
It's probably the same.
And you know what? It's funny you should say that because... no one in Irwin County grows sweet potatoes. So,
right.
So you have a goat festival, right. No goats. We have a sweet potato.
And when I first heard, I'm like, goat festival? Like, what is a goat festival? And it's just a festival.
And they just, it probably had goats in the beginning.
They probably did.
And then they stopped bringing the goats, but they still had the festival.
Right.
There we go.
So, and all it is something where a lot of vendors are getting together and a lot of people can gather up to stop by and get different foods.
Yeah.
You got things for the kids to do, basically amusement park with food.
Yeah.
So that's basically
your small town South Georgia festival.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Correct. And you know, I follow that up with the we used to have the taco festival.
Okay.
At the end of the year, but we moved it since it was so close to the goat festival.
Okay. So now you got one kind of in the spring.
I do one in the spring, which myself and a business partner, which Mr. Gio Gomez, he helps me with it. We do a taco festival during the springtime.
Okay.
So now we're doing a taco festival in the springtime, and then at the end of the year or around fall, we're doing something called a fall festival.
Okay.
So Pearson don't have a whole lot going on, so we try.
If you got three festivals a year, you're doing, that's a good bit.
Well, I'll be honest with you, the Goat Festival is up in the air right now on whether we haven't been getting the attendance the participation like.
So is the fall festival kind of new, and maybe that'll take the place of it? Because the Goat Festival is in October.
Correct.
So now the fall festival is close to it.
The fall festival is probably going to take the place of
the
Goat Festival.
Gotcha.
But the Taco Festival has been, oh my God, it's been huge every year.
How long has the Taco Festival been going on? It sounds kind of new.
2 years.
Okay.
2 years.
So that's the one you said you invited me to this Saturday.
That's the one that we're, probably by the time this comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really sorry I can't get the podcast produced and pushed out by the one day. Right. But it's an annual thing?
It is an annual thing.
So you usually have it, because this is, we're in May right now. We can go and say, well.
We're in April and May every year.
April and May. So you're a different date, but in that same time frame.
And, I'm trying to word this the right way, but the Taco Festival is, if you've been to Pearson, we are heavily populated with the Hispanics.
Okay.
The Hispanics, if you went to our school, I think our school population with the Hispanics, I think we were 65% Hispanic in our school. So
I knew it was a heavy, Atkinson County does have a heavy Hispanic population,
but didn't realize
it was that high.
And they usually, when we do the Goat Festival, we don't get a whole lot of Hispanics out. So we really wanted to do something that's more diverse.
Okay.
We wanted to draw them.
So this is pretty much, because you got, that's an interesting thing. You created a festival trying to include a population of people that, well, they're the majority if they're 65%.
Right.
And in some places there might be efforts to try to keep them from participating in things, and here you are doing that. Well, talk about the evolution of that thing, because that's more interesting than just we have a taco festival, because the purpose behind it is a little deeper and more inclusive.
And guess what? The Americans love tacos and Mexican food now. They love it. You're seeing more Mexican restaurants go up. So you really want to bring them in, because a lot of the Hispanics would kind of being away from, okay, I don't want to go there because they're not serving my kind of food.
Well, and culturally, we do have a tendency to kind of keep within our cultures and group ourselves together, kind of self-segregate. So this sounds like is the turnout been pretty diverse?
It's been very diverse.
Okay,
very
good.
Diverse.
Good.
And I guess it helps, too, by the way we promote it and advertise it also.
Yeah.
The welcoming of how you word everything and getting everybody out has been the thing of how it's going to turn out. So by us bringing everything together, it's been huge. It's been huge and a success.
And I don't know, I assume that at some point, just because, you know, in cultures where there's a change in demographics, whether that's white and black, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's anybody anywhere in the world, when there's a change like that, there's often some tension as things change, because we just don't like change as human beings.
Well, I'm going to give you this right
so
here.
So I was going to ask how that's
the year that we
things.
First started. I was running for my second term.
Okay.
So it's my idea, and like I said, another Hispanic, his name is Mr. Gio Gomez. There was tension that year from that first year because these other elected, the other officials that's running for mayor, they don't do this type of stuff. They're older. They don't get out in the community and do what I'm doing, give events. So after we got everything together, they wanted to come out there and set up. Like, no, you can't do that. I'm the head.
Because that wasn't a city sponsored festival. That's just
my personal thing. So,
okay, you guys just partnered and did this.
We partnered and
privately,
did this,
but invited the public.
But still, you got to think. We got a 65%
Hispanic population
here, and I'm appealing to them. I am promoting and advertising to. I want to be their mayor. And I cut a long story short, that I think that kind of helped me win too, because it was right before the election. And I was up against three other people. So it was four people who ran against me. Three people who ran against me.
Four total.
And there's a high probability that you're going to have a runoff. You're going to have a runoff, basically, if you
sure.
got
four Statistically, people. Yeah.
Statistically, no, it was a landslide.
So there was no runoff.
There was no runoff.
You won re-election.
I won a re-election without even a runoff with three other people.
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure they don't figure out now that he's. I'm liked by everybody, not just by the black, not just by the white. I try to appeal to everybody. I try to be diverse and bring everybody together. So.
Has that now that since you've done that, you know, in the year since your election year. You said that it's been in 2 years. This is about to be the third year, so I assume it grew from the first year to the second year.
It has grown. The popularity has grown. The event has grown. It is huge. It is huge. We're getting a lot of turnout for it. We're getting a lot of vendors for it. I'm visioning, like I told you, I vision big. I vision for something to be extravagant.
Yeah.
I want to be just as big as Macon's Fair, you know? Which, I mean, it's kind of hard to beat, but...
Well, if you pull enough people from enough places. Yeah.
Right. I mean, look at the people that Macon pulls. I mean, people from all over the state.
Yeah.
White, black, Mexican, Korean, Chinese, it don't matter. It's all for one goal. I mean, look at the money that Macon brings to that city, probably that 1 week for some of those stores. I mean, just all the businesses in that area. I mean, you probably can't put a number on it, but I'm pretty sure those stores are happy that they have that fairground there.
You've mentioned wanting to bring some business, specific manufacturing. Sounds like you've done something that's gaining some traction and kind of bring the community together multiculturally. Yes, what I guess, since you're in your second term, I guess about halfway through, what else are you focused on? What else do you want to see? What else is kind of a need you want to address in Pearson?
My main focus is I'm a part of our industrial authority at the moment. And my main focus now is getting some businesses out there. We have right now three businesses out there. And I forgot to mention, I'm starting a business out there later too.
Of course you are.
Right?
Mr. Entrepreneur.
But we got a pallet company that's going out there. We have a sawmill that's going there. And we're supposed to have we're in the middle of negotiating with a cargo trailer plant that's coming there.
So you are bringing some manufacturing jobs.
Of course. We're putting a water line out there at the moment as we speak. But we got some things that should be coming up pretty good in the next 6 months to a year out there.
I can't help to do this.
Go ahead.
My very first interview, I told you as I was setting up this, my very first interview, my very first episode in season one of Small Town Podcast was the now late Lace Futch, who was the chairman of the county commission of Atkinson County when I interviewed him.
What year did you do that with him?
That would have been, I think I did the recording in late 2017.
Oh, wow.
At the same time you were winning your first, and then we released that episode at the beginning of 2018. That was season one of Small Town Podcast.
Okay.
And so he was, we actually, even though he was, his office was in Pearson, because that's the county seat of Atkinson County,
right.
Since we were doing the episode on Willacoochee, since he was twice the mayor of Willacoochee, and that was what we focused on with the episode, we did it in his old office down in Willacoochee. So he talked about in days gone by, because he had different high schools in different places. There was some animosity between Pearson and Willacoochee. I hope with bringing the community together, that's changed over the years. He had a funny story about there was a bus of boys that would come. I guess he was in grade school or high school. It would come over from Pearson and beat up the boys from Willacoochee.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes they beat them off and made them get back on the bus and go back. But talk about the sense of collaboration. You got two cities that do have a little bit of history of tension. And then, of course, the county working together.
We have been working together, me and the county, like Parker.
Chairman Parker Lyles,
he referred you over.
He's the one I knew about you, but he's the one that gave me your number.
Me and him have.
Thank you, Parker.
We've been collaborating on some things, and me and Lace collaborated on some things, but me and Parker is more closer in age, and we can understand each other probably a little better, which I'm not taking anything from Mr. Lace. Mr. Lace was probably the greatest politician to ever come through Atkinson County. And, well, let me back that up. He's called Uncle Lace. Everybody called him Uncle Lace. Uncle Lace. And, I mean, I love him. I respect him. Me and Parker, I think we can do really good for Atkinson County. As far as Willacoochee has Mayor Mr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We have really been good together also. He has given me a lot of knowledge. And anything we ask them for or ask them to collaborate on anything, we've been pretty good together also.
I was hoping that was the answer. I was a little nervous to ask in case y'all went back to sending school buses of boys to beat up the other boys.
There's been nothing like that.
Good. Well, Mayor, as we kind of start to wrap things up for this episode, I want to give you the same opportunity I've given all my previous mayor and other local official guests, and give you a chance to speak directly to the Small Town Podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit, whether it's for the Taco Festival or some other time, or maybe why they should come think about moving to Pearson, Georgia.
I would say you should think about coming to Pearson, because Pearson is harmless, like I told you earlier. The crime rate is not as bad as most places. I would say Pearson is a really good place for retirement. We don't have a million places to eat at, but some of the places that we have here is really good food here. The people here is loving, they caring. You got businesses starting to go up. I mean jobs are gonna be here in the next 6 months to a year. So, I mean, Pearson will be a really good place to live in the next few years. So come on and enjoy.
Well, Mayor Robert Johnson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Robert, Buster Johnson, for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you both for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.